But last week, basically, using the parable of the sower, Jesus saying, if you don't understand this parable, then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And I made a comparison between two groups of people, the Bereans, who studied the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul preached was true. So, therefore, our comparison is, are you a Berean? Therefore, every time I get up here and flap my lip, do you study every day of the week if what I've told you is what God says, or do you forget what I said by your second cup of coffee? It's a question that we have to always ask ourselves. I remember, you know, what Jared preached here on Thursday, because I realized God was speaking to me, not some tall, skinny Dutchman. God was speaking to me. And that was one of the scriptures. Remember in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, when it says, how the Thessalonians received the word of God that they heard from Paul. They did not receive it as the word of man, but as the word of God, which truly works in you who believe. So it's for all believers. And this is why, you know, as a pastor, you sometimes think, oh, you know, how can I help the people? How can I help the people? How can I help the people? In the end, the bottom line is, I can't help you. I can't help you until you make a decision to help yourself by becoming a scholar or a student. You don't have to be a scholar. A student, and by faith, believe the word of God will change your life. So we're going to talk more about, we were going to talk the scripture about investment. In fact, we got it on our card last week, you may remember. Investment and return. If I was looking for a title this week, it would be Investment and Return. Now, as we've already heard today, you know, gas is $4 a gallon, and the stock market ain't doing that brilliant. Of course, the dollar's in a very weak place, and everything seems to be really lousy. Food prices are soaring, and there's this general feeling in America, you know, with how many airlines shut down in the last 6 weeks? 4, I believe, and just things seem to be shaky, and then the question comes up from Isaiah, whose report are you going to believe? Nowhere in the Bible has there ever been a situation where God has panicked by what's going on in any nation. And so there is one person that I'd like to bring your memory to that's very important. Remember the patriarchs, Abraham, he was a tither. Isaac, his son, doesn't mention about him. And Jacob, he was a tither. But I want to tell you about Isaac. The Bible says about Isaac, it says, Isaac sowed in famine and received a hundredfold the same year. Isaac sowed in famine. Isaac sowed in famine. I've got something here I want to show you, just for fun's sake, okay? This is not like, I'm not trying to say anything. Just thought you might like this, because I thought it was really neat. Everybody see that? Can you read it from the back there? Vaughan's grass seed. I thought that was wonderful. They even spelt my name right. And the reality is we talk about investment and return. Now, you know, I have Roth IRAs and I have certain mutual things and all that stuff. And I'm finding at the moment it's a waste of time investing in most things. You know, you get a massive 3.15% on E-Trade, you know, and that's about the best you can get on normal things. And I think, do I really want to invest my future in something that's going to give me the monstrous return of 3%? Or should I think like Isaac? Isaac sowed in recession. No. Isaac sowed in depression and reaped a hundredfold the same year. Now, let's talk about investment and return here. 3%, 100%. 3%, that's the way of the world, that's the way of this world. That's if I invest in America. 100% if I invest in faith. 3%. 100%, what shall I choose? 3%, 100%. People actually do choose the 3%. It's amazing because as believers, I'm just going to talk this one off my hip, all right? From the very beginning when man sinned, do you remember what God said? He said to Satan, I have set an enmity, or a fight between your seed and her seed. So from the very beginning, God's trying to say, guys, there's a fight. There's going to be a fight every day of your life between Satan's seed and God's seed. And you have to decide. And what are the odds? 3 to 100. 3 to 100. All right, you got good investment. You get 12%. You got really good investment. Some you took high-risk stuff. You're getting 12 and 15 and 20% high-risk investment. You know, you're investing it overseas, investing in the real or whatever it is that made, Warren Buffett made him a rich man because he invested in the new, in the Brazilian real, and then the Brazilian real went up and he made a few billion. Of course, he invested many billions. But he still didn't make 100%. And so my question to you is, there's a war. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. Scripture uses the word lusteth. Nice. But I want you to hear this. The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. And we have to make a decision which one we're going to invest in. Now, we all know in John chapter 3, it says, that's born of the flesh is going to be 60 next year. That's born of the flesh is flesh. But that's born of the spirit is eternal and limitless. Eternal and limitless. And we have to make a decision. As a pastor, I find the most difficult thing to get across to Christians is, why can't you grasp the reality of seed? Why can't we see it? A, we're not an agrarian society. How many of us here are farmers? None of us. Few of us have got a few gardens and things. We know a little bit about farming. But the reality is none of us earn a living by farming. None of us are dependent on the seed. None of us. So therefore, the whole mentality of seed, why do you think there's a globalization of bringing everybody into urban areas to keep people out of understanding what seed is? City people don't understand seed. City people don't understand that our entire life, bare, bar nothing, is based on seed. Galatians chapter 6. How many times? This has got to be one of my most adamant statements out of the truth. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. You know, we've heard so many sermons, oh, if you plant an apple seed, you'll get apples. If you plant, I'm going to tell you something. If you plant apple seeds, you don't get apples. You get apple trees. You get apple trees. Now think about that. That means that if you sow one seed, you now get an apple tree. That means you get the full life support system for God knows how many years out of one stupid seed. One little seed, you put it in the ground, and the next thing you know, a little spot, oh God, still failing me, oh, I'm still hungry, you know. And it takes a little while, but it begins to grow and grow and grow and blossom and flourish. And next thing you know, there's some apples. Oh, mate. And the apples, and you pick them all and you eat them. And then next year, there's a bunch more. And it comes from one seed, but we can't get it. That is sown of the flesh is going to be 60 next year. But that's sown of the spirit is eternal. Why do you think God said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. He's not saying that he's going to do it. He's saying we have to do it. And the only way to do it is by sowing. There's no other way. Jesus said, why take your thought for what you eat or what you put on? Remember all that? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. And then he talks about, why do you store up for yourselves things on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves can get in and steal? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Store up for yourself. So, and who heard my message on the CD, Heavenly Barns? Raise your hand. Not enough of you. So, we used to have a barn in Lexington, New York. It was 120 feet long and 38 feet wide. So roughly, it was about as big as this room, okay? And so we used to come in the middle of the barn. If any of you know what those good old-fashioned, but it was a great barn, beautiful. The floor was 6 inches thick. They were made by 2x6s end up. It was an awesome barn. You'd never be able to replace it. The wood would cost you millions. And you'd come in, and when we came into the barn, when we bought the place, the whole barn was full of hay. And it looked fantastic, man. And it just looked like this. The kids played in it, and there was so much fun. And today, on the way over here, we were watching the farmers are cutting the hay already. I thought it was pretty early, you know. Here we are in May, and they've cut the hay, and they're baling it in their big round bales, you know. And, of course, you cut it and then turn it and then gather it up and, you know, stuff that all us folks know absolutely nothing about. But anyway, this barn was full of hay. And we as Americans live by visual. Help me now. Right? The Bible says walk by faith, not by sight. We live by visual. So when you walk into a place and you see hay, you go, hey. No, you don't. You go, now, all right, now I'm saying that because we, every day of our lives, are walking around looking for hay. We call it money, okay? We're looking for a better job. We're looking for a better car. We're looking for a better house. We're always looking for hay. And so, therefore, when we see a lot of hay, we go, that's what I want. That's what I want. And we spend our time trying to gather all this hay and put it in barns. And then what happens is one day, without any warning, and we don't know how, this happens. This happens. That one little match can completely destroy all of it. One little match. How much money have you got stored up on earth? Enough money to take care of a medical emergency? Enough money to take care of someone suing you? I heard of an interest. No, I don't want to tell that story. That's not suitable. At prison, we heard of an interesting thing about someone being sued. But anyway, I want to say this. Can you guarantee that whatever you've got is going to be there a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? You can't guarantee it. What happens if the country does go into depression? What happens if the bank forecloses on your house? What happens if you lose your job, you can't pay? I'm only just saying, these things are possible. That can't happen to us. Yeah, it happened before and it can happen again. It happened to the Romans, it happened to the Greeks, it happened to the Spanish, it happened to the Egyptians, it happened to the British, it can happen. It happened to Americans. It happened to the Russians. It's happening all the time around the world. And, you know, with the globalization of other nations catching up, we're not going to be the great nation we've always been a few years from now. And so I just want to encourage you, think about this. Have you ever seen a forest fire? Have you ever been in California? We saw, we drove through after there'd been a forest fire. Everything was destroyed except what? The seed that was in the ground. Everything was destroyed except the seed that was in the ground. So when the rain comes and the weather changes and it's favorable, as the moisture comes, everything begins to grow again. But everything that was there isn't there. So therefore, there's not one thing in this life you can guarantee. One of our ladies came to church tonight, and as she walked in, I said, "You okay? You look a bit tired." She said, "Oh, my mother went in for a procedure yesterday, and they opened her up and found all kinds of problems, and they had to cut it all out." And you could just see the weight of that on her young face as her mother was sick. You know, suddenly a mother dies. Suddenly, did you all hear about the death of what's his name? Steve Curtis Chapman. Did you all hear about that? his five-year-old daughter was killed by his teenage son. Now, I know that sounds pretty heavy, but it happened just Thursday. And so the thing is that if a Christian family that loves God like they do, if that can happen, all I'm saying is there is nothing on this earth that you can guarantee will be there tomorrow, except what you've sown. I know it was an accident, but he's still dead. Sorry, he was driving the vehicle. Yeah, I see your point. Nothing on this earth you can guarantee will be there tomorrow except the seed you've sown. So your future is 100% dependent on your seed, not what you have. Now, this is basic Christianity, believe it or not. Okay. Does or doesn't the scripture say, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone? Jesus fell to the ground and died, and here we are. So therefore, if we begin to grasp that everything in our life, everything, no exception, God is not mocked. They mocked him at the cross, remember? Last time. Never happened again. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So, okay, let's ask ourselves a question. What are we sowing? That is sown to the flesh is flesh. That is sown to the spirit is spirit, right? So therefore, let me ask you the question. What are you sowing? I'm not just talking about money. Money being the primary need in your life, whether you like it or not. Well, most of the time, unless there's a sickness or a death or something, then suddenly you forget about money. My mother, bless her heart, she flew out Tuesday. So on the way down, she had a couple of dollars to give the person with the wheelchair a tip. And then the last 55, she's 92 years old, remember my mother? The last $55 she had, she gave to me to give to Janet, who's Dave Hart's widow, down in Zambia. Because money doesn't mean anything to my mother. Nothing. Nothing. But the seed means everything to her. Because that $55 going down to Zambia will do what, according to Philippians 4? Will actually put treasure in heaven for her, my mother. And these things are so essential. Now, I'm saying this because young people, I don't know how to get this across. I know they say, you can't put a wise head on young shoulders. But you can learn this. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Why aren't you sowing? It's because you've got confidence in your flesh, not his truth. You've got confidence in what you can do, not what he's promised. You're investing in 3% instead of 100%. It makes no sense to me at all. I have no idea. You know, I'm not coming tonight as this compassionate shepherd, pastor. I just love you, Digabazia. Forget that. Forget that. You need to hear this. You need to hear. If you don't start sowing, you're going to come crying to your pastor 20 and 30 years from now and keep saying, oh, I need marriage counseling. Oh, I need counseling about my children. Oh, I need counseling about my finances. Oh, I need... No, you don't. You need to listen to me now. And you won't need counseling 20 and 30 years from now. Are you with me? Because if you don't get this, let me go back again to what I said last week. Jesus said, if you don't understand this principle, this parable, how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And then we sing that beautiful song. My God shall supply all my needs That's how they used to sing it. According to his riches in glory. Jehovah Jireh Visa, whatever his name was. Jehovah Visa. Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you this. I promise you something. I promise you, as I stand here, God will not supply your needs. Because the Bible says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And those who sow abundantly will reap abundantly. Hello? Put three seeds in the ground, you're going to get three tomatoes. And I'm telling you, do you know how many of you, I've heard this before, but you ain't doing it, so I'm telling you again. You young people that aren't tithing, all I can say is, bavakasha. I'm leaving it at that. That's a Hebrew word for, I can't get it across to you. What part of giving don't you understand? What part of give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, shaking together, will men give unto your bosom? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, shaking together, will men give unto your bosom? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, give and it. But what about my 3%? I'm sorry, you know, I know I'm sounding facetious, but I don't know what's getting into people. Are we becoming that dumb to the Spirit? That dumb? No wonder Jesus said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What mystery is that, Jesus? Give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, and shaken, it will be given to your bosom. That's what it is. I'm so tired. When did you last so exercise? You're laughing. That's how you get fit. You don't get fit by anything other than sowing energy. How do you get? We had someone here last week crying to someone. Oh, nobody helps me. Nobody's got my back. Nobody this. And then they walk down the stairs, out the door, unfriendly. Never come to a home group. Never try and be friendly with anybody. And they're complaining they don't have friends. No, you don't have any friends. Really? But don't forget, you're stinking unfriendly. Because what you sow, that, if you sow money, you don't reap friends. If you sow love, you don't reap mercy. If you sow forgiveness, you don't reap, all right? If you sow forgiveness, you reap forgiveness. If you sow love, you reap love. If you sow mercy, you reap mercy. If you sow judgment, you reap judgment. If you sow gossip, you reap gossip. If you sow whatever you sow, is what you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. I told you the story about the time I was in Virginia. It was 1982, and I'm sitting on a platform and the camp meeting is rocking away, and I'm sitting there, and God says, give that guy your suit. There was this cowboy in the back row. I met him a couple of times and I thought, God, you know, I'm an Englishman, you know, what do we love cowboys, yeah, right. Name on the back of his belt and everything, I reckon. Anyway, so yeah, that was good. That was definitely a Vaughan seed. Anyway, So I start arguing. A, I didn't want to give him a suit. End of conversation, right? Now, did you hear what Dan said earlier? Give $1,000 to Zambia, then some African steals it. Is he stealing your seed? Absolutely not. God will deal with him. Your seed is sound. So don't forget that. See, do you know why a lot of people don't tithe? They want to know what we do with it. That's all right. You go for your life. That's why we have a finance committee. But anyway, so a lot of people, you know, they can't just, you see, once you put it in the ground, it becomes God's business. unless you kill it with the Agent Orange. Remember I taught that? Oh, I thought God was going to look after me. Weed killer. So I said, all right, well, I'll give him my blue suit. And I distinctly heard the Holy Spirit speak, said, give me a grey suit. Oh, God, the grey suit was the only suit I actually liked. These other suits have been given to me. And did I ever tell you about that first suit that was given to me? Or a second suit? And I was wearing it at a conference in Jerusalem. And this little girl from Taiwan came up to me. I mean, really, she was this tall. She looked at me and said, no, Hong Kong. She said, Brother Vaughan. Yeah? She said, where you get a lousy suit? That's exactly, now that one I didn't mind giving away. It was a lousy suit, but I wore it because God gave it to me. But anyway, that's not the point. That's another story. So I wrestled for like 3 or 4 days with this suit. And eventually I went up to the guy and said, Brother, I said, God speak to me about giving you a suit. Oh, okay. So we went to my room and he put this suit on. The thing fitted him better than it fitted me. It really bugged me. And I went, well, yeah, praise God, you know, I can't, widow with a 2 mics. One day I'm going to take a Jesus offering, which is I'm going to see what you put in it, the offering. Because it's just what Jesus did, remember? He said he stood in the temple and watched what everybody put in the offering. Oh, yeah, read the book. It's in that black, well, yours may be pink like my one at home, but anyway, real men use pink Bibles. Anyway, so these guys backed me up. And so I want you to think about this. So I gave this suit with a grudge, but in faith. You know, sometimes faith is like that. Okay. Okay, Lord, here come the widow's mites. But as long as you sow them suckers, man, that's the point. Let go. I told a story here Thursday night. We went to Jamaica. 26 of us went down to Jamaica on a mission trip. Oh, man, that was a rough. I made no plans, no arrangements, didn't tell anybody we were coming. And some of you guys want to know too much about life before you take a step of faith. Imagine taking 26 people to Jamaica and we don't even know where we're going to go. No reservations, no hotel, nobody to meet us. Anyway, so it worked out. And a few days, the next day, I decided to tell everybody, I said, listen, this is the way I believe God's leading me. Everybody, whatever money you've got, put it all in this pot, and whatever we need, that's it. So most people said, okay, you know, and they went. About 3 days later, this lady came up, and she handed me $2. I said, oh, thanks, Norma, what? She said, no, you don't understand. I said, what? She said, I put $600 in the offering, but I couldn't let go of these two in case I needed a soda or a candy bar. And I want to ask you something. Are you stopping God because you can't let go of that? How are you stopping God because you can't let go? Because you're trusting you instead of trusting him. Isaac sowed in famine. So anyway, I left for South Africa. Soon after that, I gave that suit. I go down to South Africa, and somebody else gave me a suit. I went to a meeting one night. It was a home meeting. Big home. Jeez, it was a big home. And afterwards, the guys come up to me, and they said, Vaughan, lousy suit. I thought, gee, I've heard that before. And this time, I didn't think it was, you know. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? Yeah, nothing much. He said, okay. He said, come down to our place. It turns out they have got the biggest outfitter in the city. So I go down there. He looks through all his store. Nah, not nah. Come on, jump in the car. Jumps in the car. Drives to the warehouse, big warehouse where that supply all the outfitters. It took him an hour before he found, in the end, he had to give me the two most expensive suits in the warehouse. Took them back to his shop, laid them on the floor. Boom. And then he got shirts. And he threw this shirt and that shirt and this shirt with that suit. He said, you've got to wear that shirt with that suit if it's in the evening. You've got to wear it lunchtime. You need that tie. But in the evening, you need that handkerchief. Oh, socks. You mustn't. Don't wear those socks in the day. They're evening socks. He gave me two suits, six shirts, six ties, six handkerchiefs, six pairs of socks. The value of it was off the chain. I could have never, ever afforded it. And the reality was, I sewed one suit. And I want to tell you guys, and I could tell you, I will tell you lots of stories in the next few years about sewing. But I'm trying to get across to you young people, if you don't learn to sew, what are you going to reap? You young people, let me ask you, how are you sowing your help to the church? How are you sowing your service? How are you sowing your friendship? How are you sowing your everything? I just don't understand, because if you're sowing to video games and sowing to a lot of TV time and sowing to a lot of... I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV and shouldn't play games. Obviously, we're young and everything else. We all want to do it. A bit of R&R. Watch sport. Pat and I watched the rugby game this afternoon. It was great. The Irish won. Hey! And they beat the French. Hey! That'll teach them to come from Toulouse. If you're going to come from Toulouse, what do you expect? You expect to win? All right. Guys, listen, I'm just going to leave it with you. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, attitude, criticism, complaints, whining, judgmental, whatever you sow, you're going to get it. It's wonderful. There ain't nothing you can do about it except repent. Because repentance is also a weed killer. If you repent, then everything that's due you won't come, because Jesus will intercept it by his blood. But I want to encourage you, folks. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I was going to do this anyway, and listen, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. We are a giving church, okay? Let me tell you straight. We are a giving church, except some people give nothing. Nothing. They let the offering bag go past them week in, week out. It's one of the greatest mysteries of my Christianity. If you give nothing, try a dollar. If you give a dollar, try three. If you give $5, try 10. Until you realize that it doesn't actually hurt when you let go of it. And it sounds like I'm being facetious, but you got to train people up. Did I tell you about the time we were at the same camp in Virginia? And it was offering time, and I'm sitting in a chair with my feet up on the chair in front and my pockets open on my trousers. Offering time, Daniel, here's an offering, shoves his hand in my pocket, pulls out my money, whips off a note, sticks it back, and puts it in the offering. See, because the Bible says God, your Father, will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and he knew it. Boom. It was like six or seven or something ridiculous, you know? And the last story I'm going to tell you, you've heard me tell this story before. Do you remember me to tell the story about Alice and India? Remember that? So, yeah, the math. And just to tell you the quick version then, I get invited to India, so I'm going to go free. The guy's going to pay my ticket, $1,450. And as I hang the phone up, I turn around at Alice and say, Alice, how would you like to go to India? She go, oh, she's 12. She's all excited. Oh, yeah. I said, but you've got to buy your own ticket. I thought, wow, that's pretty mean. I just got a free ticket. She's got to buy her own. She's 12. I said, this is what we're going to do. I didn't have a clue, but I just decided we'll get something within the next 30 nanoseconds. I said, what we're going to do is you can sell cookies. That's it. I'll buy the baking tray and all the material, and you bake them and you sell them. She went, okay, Dad. See, that is the most important thing, man. If you can agree with the promise of the Father. God, she looked me in the eye, thought, well, he's never lied to me before. Why should he start now? And so she agreed with the father. She started baking cookies. And the first time I remember, she put a lovely, she got big cookies, wrapped them up, made a sign, cookies $1, all proceeds go to India. And the first woman, I'll never forget, Pat, came past. She went, cookies, I'm on a diet. You see, this is when you've got to hold fast a good confession. This is when you've got to believe that whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. And so, okay, you know, you're on a diet, so you don't want to buy my cookies. She said, but yeah, it's $20 anyway. So she had the $20, which is how many cookies she had, and she had all her cookies. And she sold them too, so she now had $40 or more because people are generous. And so it went on. She sold cookies, sent out an offering, a letter for missions, you know, to people she knew, and she got $1,451. At 12. Or was she 14? Can't remember. She was 12. I'm saying that because when she was six, hear this, all you young people. When she was six, we went down together to pray in the barn. Said, Alice, what do you want for your birthday? She said, Dad, I want to support an Indian orphan every month. $17 a month, if I remember correctly. And for years, she supported that orphan, and I never gave her the money for it. She believed God because God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Are you with me tonight? So her $17 that she gave every month for I don't know how many years, when it was time for her to go to India, she got it. Because God isn't mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. That's one of the revelations I got when I was first born again. I'm inviting you into it. And if you don't, trust me, I'm not going to look at the offering. I'm not going to put you under that condemnation. But the reality is, young people, I can't tell you enough. Start sowing. Start sowing. Start sowing. And you can start tonight. Because we need to take an offering for Zambia. We got a phone call this morning at... We're going a bit long, sorry. We got a phone call this morning at 11:15. This is what I love about God. This is what I love about His kingdom. Wendy answers the phone. They want a chainsaw in Zambia? I went, no. I don't normally do that. Normally, if I'm in doubt, I just shut up until faith... Philip asked for it. See, when Philip asked for something for Africa, it's like a Macedonian call to me. Does anybody understand that? Philip phones up from Overland Missions. He don't phone me. He gets one of his guys, one of his grunts to phone. This is the message I got. There's two stoves in Wyndham that need to get to Pennsylvania. Tell Vaughan it's his responsibility. By the way, he doesn't know yet. So I get the phone call. These two commercial stuff, weighing how much? Weigh? £600 each. Are up in Wyndham, and I've got to get them to Pennsylvania. Philip said so. I thought, I'll slap you when I see you. But it's a Macedonian call. Do we understand? This is going to Africa. This is going to the mission. This is somewhere where there are more people dying from AIDS than anywhere in the world. This is where the 28 of the 30th poorest countries in the world are in sub-Saharan black Africa. You better believe I'm sowing into it. You get my drift? Do you know this church has already given something close to $14,000 to missions this year already? And I'm saying we're a giving church. I'm not complaining. But he called up at 11:15 for a chainsaw. So I repented. Otherwise, I would have reaped no help. I repented. I went, let go of the might. Got my cell phone, called someone. That was at 11:15. At 11:55, we're taking the chainsaw apart. We're getting ready to pack it. 40 minutes, brand new, still, chainsaw, extra bar, two extra chains, two extra spark plugs, all the oil, everything we need, because we're going to take that to Zambia. And Phil wants me to go down there to preach because he thinks Vaughan's grass seed is pretty good.